Conceptions of I and mine, you will have to remain within the material world. grace of Lord Krishna, the sages and Lord Madhu reminded Dhruva Maharaj that he should not continue this material conception of I and mine. Simply by devotional service unto the Lord, this illusion could be eradicated without difficulty. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale by this root of illusory conception, I am mine, he will have to remain within this material world in different exalted or nasty positions. Now, we are here in the Kirtan course highly interested to serve Krishna and make our connection with Krishna with the right understanding. I am his servant, and he is my Lord and Master. And now to come to this highly exalted level, we have to realize what the Skanda Purana says as devam bhutva devam yajet. That means to serve a spiritual being, you yourself have to become one. You have to become spiritual. You need, in other words, to give up these wrong conceptions. This reminds us of a lecture where Srila Prabhupada talked about becoming fire. He said, if you want to enter the fire, you have to become fire. In other words, he spoke of this subject. If you want to come close to the Krishna, and you have to become like he is. You don't have to become him, but like him, that is the spiritual. A devotee cannot be a bad character, because Krishna, Prabhupada says, is pavitram paramam bhavam. Pavitra means pure. So an impure person cannot approach him. And then he gives this example. If you want to enter fire, you yourself must be fire. If you are not fire, you will simply burn. The example is given. Krishna is a big fire and we are sparks of that fire. So if you want happiness, then you have to dance with Krishna. Hare Krishna. All right, Baba. But I cannot dance with Krishna if I'm not pure. Krishna is Pavitram Paramam Bhavam. Pavitram means the supreme pure. If you want to take pleasure in the company of Krishna, who wants it? I said, wow. If you want to take pleasure in the company of Krishna and dance in the rasa dance, then you have to become purified. That is sarvopadi vinimo. Become free of all designations. All this has to go. I am German, I am French, I am complicated, I am uncomplicated. I am happy, I am sad, I have a bad shoulder, I have a good shoulder. It is not the right understanding. It reminds us of one German mystic. Maybe some of you have heard him. Meister Eckhart. Meister Eckhart. He was once asked, how should the person be who can see and serve God? How should he be? And Meister Eckhart, he was a mystic. You need to have sometimes an explanation of what he said. He said, that person who wants to be with God must be dead. What he meant with this is not a physical death, obviously. What he meant was that these material illusory concepts of I am the body of the Brahman and this is mine must go. In Prabhupada's teachings, we hear this important lesson repeated all over again. He said all over again, I am not the body. Does this sound familiar to you? Have you heard this at times? He said, the beginning of Krishna consciousness starts here. We need to understand, I'm an eternal soul and I'm not the body. This should not be understood only theoretical, but by practical realization. It is in the beginning of a book, a small booklet, very interestingly written, called Beyond Birth and Death. You must start here. You must come to this level. If you don't, then your whole spiritual life will be a very honest endeavor, most probably, but it will rest on the wrong foundation, not on the spiritual foundation. The Hari Bhakti, Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's a guidebook for spiritual practice, takes up this point and says, Buddha Shuddhim Vinakartur Japa Homa Adhika Kriya Vavanti Nishpala. Nishpala means no good result will come. Sarvayata Vidya Apayanustita. I will read to you the quotation for him in a moment, but because we have young devotees amongst us who may need to understand this, what he talks about. There is a practice in our tradition whereby which we can become free from these binding material concepts of I am the body and I am that identify with our complicated mind and our false persona. No? This practice is called Buddha Shuddhi, or it means to be purified of the material elements. If you use a little bit more philosophical language, you would say it's the dismantling and reconstruction of identity. You get rid of the wrong identity and you get a new identity. This Buddha Shuddhi practice is there in all spiritual traditions of India. And to give you the idea, I will quote from another tradition, the Tantra tradition. When you hear Tantra in the West, you think of one thing, you know, physical or sexual practices, but that is Tama in the mode of, that is Tantra in the mode of Tama, ignorance. There is such a thing. But there is Tantra also in the mode of goodness, where you really want to become free from the false material identity. And the way you do this is, we don't do this, but I just want you to understand the principle of Buddha Shuddhi. You practice Buddha Shuddhi by mentally burning your material body. You surround it with fire, with mentally conceived fire, and then you see how your body burns, not in a shocking way, you just see the hair goes, the material elements of earth goes, the everything goes, the watery portions go, and then you obviously then you see in the meditation that the body has become a pile of ashes, small pile. Your body fits in such a container when it is ashes. So then the next meditation is that the one who practices Buddha Shuddhi meditates that a drop of nectar or amrita comes from the Lord, falls down into this world, onto the heap of ashes, which is your dismantled or mentally rejected false identity, and from out of the ashes, which is touched by the drop of nectar, emerges your true spiritual identity. Do you understand this meditation practice? Mm-hmm. Oh, you slept, I think you have not understood it properly. But this was of another tradition, it's all right. But now you need to be attentive. You know, this you don't need to remember. But now you need to be attentive. So we don't do such tantric practices. But we also have our Buddha Shuddhi. Would you like to know the Vaishnava meditation?
Yes.
Yes.
It's much, much more gentle. You go like this. I am by nature the eternal servant of Krishna. This is my true identity. I am an eternal servant of Krishna. But because of my misfortune, I have turned away from him since time immemorial. Therefore I have identified myself with my body, and as a result I wandered continuously in the cycle of birth and death in the material world, suffering the burning threefold miseries. Manohar, Gaurahari, Manu, the three devotees whom I just seen, you are only in this life looking like a Croatian and a Frenchman and a Belgian. It's not your true identity. You are an eternal soul who had before this body other bodies. And the reason why you had it is because out of misfortune you have turned away from Krishna and suffering the threefold miseries like going to the dentist and such things. Such now, this has changed. As a result of some unimaginable good fortune, it's called Bhakti Sukriti in Sanskrit, I have met my spiritual master, and out of his mercy, he has enabled me to know that I am Krishna's eternal servant, completely apart. Apart means separate or different. Completely apart from my gross and subtle body. In the end, meditation is, I am so fortunate now that I serve my spiritual master's lotus feet and in his footsteps, means I follow his example, I serve now Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then you put the name of the deities whom you serve, like Manu and Manohar would say, I'm now serving Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, and Gaurahari would say, I'm now serving Sri Sri Radha Madanmohan. No, this is the identification, the right identification, which is separated in this Buddha Shuddhi meditation, which separates us at once from the illusory concept of material identities. I see so many devotees who have so much greenness behind their ears, not as a German expression, who are so have such beginners in their spiritual life that it's embarrassing to even analyze them. And better not do it, otherwise you might do Vaishnava Ramadhi. But there are so many beginners in our movement that it's overwhelming the amount. And they keep on identifying with the body and the mind, or I will speak in modern English language, with their moods, with how the body is, is it painful, is it good, and there's a little illness, they just pain, cannot come any longer to spiritual programs. It's just, I'm now sick, Prabhu. No, you're not sick, it's only the body. Oh, I'm now in a bad mood, I have sadness. No, it's not true. You are the eternal part of Krishna. This is where you need to practice your spiritual life. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once gave a lecture to his disciples. It was a quite intense lecture. And he wanted to show them how important it is to destroy the wrong conception of life. So he said something, he gave an example of someone who rows a boat but forgets to lift the anchor. Where I live, in the Gaurabhavan, we have a boat. This boat is a boat, a birthday present. It is an extremely fast boat. It's a rowing boat. But it is chained in three places so that it is not swept away. And also there is a rumor in Germany that the Poles come over the border and steal the rowing boats of the Germans. I don't believe this rumor, but the person who took care believed in it, and it has therefore chained the boat three times with the German chain. So imagine, I would go into this rowing boat and try to row across the lake. If you row across the lake, there is a beautiful ashram where Siam Nam and Bhagavad Dharma live. They have five very beautiful deities. Sri Nitai Gosunda, then they have Sadbuja, they worship Giriraj, and also Radha and Krishna. And it's a beautiful, beautiful temple they have. And sometimes we like to row, you know, over the lake and visit this other temple. There's so many devotees living there. It's like a devotee paradise. So when you row on the lake, everyone greets you, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh yes, and you see some children swimming in the lake, you know, from the devotees, and oh, Maharaj, Hare Bol, and so on. But you cannot row over the lake if you don't open the chains. You will not move even 50 centimeters over this beautiful lake of Navaropin. Shishirada Gopinata Ki Jai. So in the same way, you will never ever experience Krishna consciousness if you don't cut this wrong identification with the body and the mind. It will not work for you. You will remain a mental person the rest of your life and just never understand what it means, Krishna conscious life, spiritual life. Sanatana Goswami says this very clear. He says, unless a person performs the Buddha Shuddhi practice, none of his pious spiritual activities, none of his spiritual activities will give him any result. And he says, his japa will not work for him, fire sacrifices will not work for him, even if all of this is done according to the prescribed rules and regulations. Because the chains to material life have not been separated. The chains of illusion are still there. What do you think about this? Does it make sense? Can you understand what I'm trying to explain this morning?
Yes.
In our Kirtan course, I believe it was the day before yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, we learned three meditations from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which help us to come on the spiritual platform. Who remembers one of these meditations? I think you all remember them. Yes, Munishwara, yes. Yeah, I'm part and parcel of Krishna. I belong to him. I'm like a spark in the fire. The second is...
Yeah. Krishna is my most merciful Lord and Master.
Krishna is my most merciful Lord and Master. And what was the third meditation? Rishabha?
You are in this world to be reformed.
We are only in this world for one purpose, to be reformed. That's why we chant. So this expresses a little bit what Buddha Shruti means. Purify yourself from these illusions. Remember this most beautiful, heart-touching theater play yesterday. It was let us not exaggerate, it was a small sketch done with little preparation, but the idea was very beautiful, and the way it was presented was most beautiful. One devotee told me he had tears in his eyes when he saw it. Remember, it was about these three people who met after 10 years and were two of them had become very much involved in iron mine. You know, they were very attached to the material life, their cars and all kinds of things. And one of them had also tried to go this way, but luckily there was the Spanish economic money crisis, and he woke up from the dream. That was Rishabha, the personality who was played by Rishabha. And he could understand, wow, and this iron mind is wrong. The deeper you go into these illusions, the more dangerous your spiritual life becomes. And he then turned back to what he had learned earlier, and did, I think, chanting in the morning and reading in the evening, or book distribution, and he was really fired up. So this is necessary. You will always be on the amateur level, an embarrassing neophyte, embarrassing to you and to the community of Vaishnavas, if you just can't get this point straight, I'm not this body. I only identify as a servant of a servant of a servant of Lord Krishna. Krishna is the ocean nectar. He is full of transcendental bliss. He always exists with brilliance. I'm a part of this Lord. I'm not a pile of ashes. Even if my ashes look very beautiful because I have a very interesting haircut, and very nice creams on my ashes, and so on. This is very important, my dear boys. I had a personal experience of this. It was in the year somewhere in the 80s, 87, maybe 88, like this. And I had come to Vrindavan, and all I could think is of, I was not digesting the Indian food very well, and I was thinking of German bread and butter. If I could just have some good German bread and butter, my disturbed digestion would come in order again. You know, I was asking all the new arrivals to Vrindavan, all the Western devotees, do you have maybe in your flight prasadam, you know, what you took on your flight, some German bread and butter? And they said, German bread and no, maybe I'm not from Germany. I experienced profound misery. So then I found a replacement, chapatis. It's not so good, but I found this replacement. It's Indian bread, you could say. It's not spiced so heavily, so my intestines became peaceful. About this super doses of chili and so on. But then it became Ekadasi. Ekadasi, we were instructed, my god brothers were there, Tamakrishna Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj, all exalted Vaishnavas, they said, we will fast on Ekadasi totally. I was in their group. I said, from German bread and butter, it didn't. No, no, everything. Also chapatis, they did. Of course. No vegetables, nothing. And we will not drink anything. We want to understand that we are not the body. Are you interested in this, Sachinanda Swami? So because they were my older god brothers and very knowledgeable in Krishna consciousness, and they were very blissful, but I was not. I thought I will follow them for one day, you know. Anyways, I can't have German bread and butter and no chapati, so I might as well, out of frustration, you know, stop all this eating business altogether. And water, no water. Oh, well, who needs water anyways? And this Indian water is full of diarrhea, bacteria, I gave up everything in bitter frustration on this world. So then and then they said, and we will chant 64 rounds. What? Yeah, logic and there's quota. You can do it. Me, I'm from Germany, I'm a single man, you know, so don't become so, don't exaggerate, you know, be normal. Oh, what's it, 16 rounds? He said we should increase it, and today is the day. Would you like to try it? And I just couldn't say no, because they always invited me to take prasadam with them, and I was feeling if I say no, they will also say no to me, and not invite me for prasadam. So I just was highly afraid of all my future meals, you know. So I said, okay. Then they said, let's promise this before the deities. Alright. So this was my first Nirjal Ekadasi. It went alright after noontime. But then hunger came and thirst came with double the strength of hunger. So I said, anyways, who's stronger, my hunger or thirst, or I am stronger? In Germany, I am stronger. So I went to the Madan Mohan temple. I still remember it because I thought if I move a little bit around, do a japa walk, I hope that's still all right, you know, do some japa walk. Mm-hmm. And then I sat down in the Madan Mohan temple and chanted in the shade. As I chanted, my dear devotees, hunger and thirst kept on increasing. The more I increased my rounds, hunger and thirst increased. I still remember it. Until after 1 hour, I was so miserable. I was ready to rob a bank, fly back to Germany, and just eat from morning till evening German bread and butter. I was ready to do everything. But then something happened. I prayed to Radha Madan Mohan, who are my deities also, my deities, I'm also, I served at the Radha Madan Mohan temple in Goloka Dham, and I prayed and said, my dear Lord, I'm so tired of myself, I'm so tired of not tasting Krishna consciousness, I'm so embarrassed and so ashamed that I have to tell you, I have only tasted German bread and butter all these years. Nothing, not much has happened. Can you please help me to control my mind? And can you please help me to understand, to feel a little bit what it means that I'm not the body and the mind, and that I'm part of you? And I don't know what happened, my dear devotees. I prayed, I became very, very emotional because of this deep suffering of my body and my mind. And this existential misery of having failed Srila Prabhupada, who has told us so often, the first thing is You need to understand you're not the body. And I became just so absolutely, I guess, eager, or what is the right English word? Motivated, I would say, to just pray to the Lord for some mercy. And something happened. I can only describe it as I was chanting and I didn't notice I'm hungry and thirsty anymore. This feeling was gone. And as I chanted more and more, it became clear to me that by my nature, I'm actually an eternal servant of Krishna. And only by illusion, I identify myself with the body. It became somehow clear to me. Not in a theoretical way, but I really felt like this. And I started to chant and turn to the Lord. And as I did this, I thought, please accept me, even though I must be a disappointment for you also. Please accept me. And it was my most wonderful rounds. In the evening we came together, all our devotees came together in Tamakrishna Maharaj's house, and we were asked to share our experiences of the 64 rounds day. And I felt what I had experienced was so sacred to me, and I needed to think about it, that I was shy to explain it. And I said, yeah, it somehow worked. I didn't think of eating, and I was very happily chanting my rounds in the Madan Mohan temple. This was my Vrindavan experience, but if you ask me how it came about, it was only because of some initial theoretical understanding, I'm not the body, and then praying to Krishna to allow me to please realize this, not in a theoretical way, but in a practical way. My dear devotees, the moment you understand this, you don't have any problem any longer. Even if things happen, like you become ill, it's not a problem. You understand it's the body, you have to now take more care of the body, or you are in a bad mood, your friend disappointed you and said something which was not appropriate. No problem. It's the mind which is disturbed and agitated, and so on. You are essentially a spiritual person, full of bliss and full of knowledge. My dear devotees, if you are fixed in this understanding, even at the moment of death, you will not be shaken. I do remember Srila Prabhupada in this connection. Maybe some of you have heard that his last days with us, he was quite emaciated. He did not eat since a few months. He looked very thin. Maybe some of you have seen photos. It is quite, one becomes very moved when one sees problems like this. He became so ill that he could not move any longer. And one day he asked his devotees, there was a pleasant evening sun, can you please carry me from my bed up into the balcony that I can get a little sun and become energetic? And we carried him and we were crying. All of a sudden, as Prabhupada was carried up, he was laughing. His whole body was shaking with laughter. He really laughed. He couldn't stop. And he asked him, Prabhupada, what's so funny? And Prabhupada said, I'll tell you later when I'm up in the balcony. And then Prabhupada told us a joke about the situation, which is a little difficult to understand if you don't come from the culture, but it's a very intellectual joke. The idea was, here I am, a very insignificant person, but to be brought up four energetic young men become my servants. And he gave the example, he said, well, I won't repeat it because it's so difficult for you to understand. Because now you want to know what I will just say it and you know. There was this man. He was so poor, he had to eat grasshoppers. That means he's really poor. But when he goes to pasture, he rides on an excellent horse. So Prabhupada, for an intellectual, when he was just laughing about this joke. I realized that for you, you just know that for Prabhupada it was the best of all jokes. So respectfully honor his sense of humor, even though you cannot feel the same laughter as he. And you know, here he was, a few moments before his death. Normally a person is a little bit afraid or composed. He doesn't joke around, and you know. But problem, no problem, that's the problem. I'm not the body. This was the last instruction which he gave a few Sankirtan devotees. I was there. And he said in his chant, he said, so, he would say this long, so, have you understood our philosophy? The different devotees said different things. And at the end he said, first of all, he was not satisfied by the answer, first of all, you need to understand that you are not the body, but an eternal soul. From there, we can continue to talk, you know, from this understanding. This is Buddha Shuddhi. This is how you break the attachment to I and me. This is how you become successful in your chanting and in your spiritual life. We will hear more about this in our morning session, because it's a very important thing, and we will actually make a practice, a Vaishnava practice, whereby all our illusions slip away, and we just chant from the position of the eternal. So, I want to end here. Lord Jagannath is still on the altar. He is ready.
He is ready.
Okay. So we should now all together make a small procession to the car. Car is also there. I believe Prabhupada will first go, and then Lord Jagannath, and we will just make a very brief.